This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Greetings, this is Harry. I represent the Reformed Church of Hastings, being one of the Reformed Churches of New Zealand. Our place of worship is 1234 Howard Street, Park Vale. You're most welcome to join us in worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. and also at 4:30 p.m. Do join us. And pray that you will join us every week at this time for a short devotion as we discuss issues concerning our lives and concerning this world in which we live. We pray this will be spiritually uplifting, and through these messages, lives will be changed. As we take a look at our society and focus on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only hope in this despairing world. Greetings again in the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. How much do you value your family? What would you settle for in order to make your family, your home, a good place to live? What I mean is, the question is this. Many of our families are in trouble. Perhaps some of us are in the middle of a big family crisis right now. And I'm wondering what you would like to see done to make your family a good place to live in once again. Now let's look at the bigger picture in our families. Let's think about the overall atmosphere in our homes. Would you like a complete makeover, a totally fresh start? Now within every family there are difficulties and problems. Problems in families are an inescapable fact. But when we think of our families, we tend to focus on this problem or that one. We tend to zero in on a specific situation, wishing that it would go away without thinking about the overall atmosphere in the home. We tend to think about replacing just one piece in the jigsaw of family life, rather than the overall picture that the jigsaw should make. Let's try to leave the specific problems behind us for a moment and direct our attention instead to an overall quality in our homes, in a family. Some key words are contentment, happiness, peace. How about joy? Joy in the family. Joy in your home. Do you think you could handle that? Now, in assessing the bigger picture of our families, in summing up the prevailing qualities in many of our homes, isn't it real, deep, and spontaneous joy that's lacking in many of our homes? If we could only have it. Now, the dictionary meaning of joy is a deep feeling or a condition of happiness or contentment, an outward show of pleasure or delight, a rejoicing. But the biblical meaning of joy is that joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. But how would we get joy? Well, you know, there's no simple and quick-acting formula that would do the trick. No click-on computer icon. No fast-acting medication that can be applied. Joy does seem to be in short supply these days. You know, that's strange, really, because there is so much human effort directed in achieving happiness. Happiness and fun. Entertainment is one of the largest industries in our Western culture and growing in leaps and bounds. If you feel down, watch a movie or watch some sport or choose something on television tonight that is designed to give you a chuckle. Alternatively, we could pop a designer pill with a love drug or a happy drug label or smoke something with a little more kick. Many people use alcohol. Some use other things in order to achieve a better mental state, a so-called state of temporary euphoria. Why, there are all kinds of ways people can use to become happy. Even so, there's not much lasting happiness around because after the upper comes the downer. And sometimes the downer hangs around for a long time. But you know, joy is something different from happiness. Surely different from happiness we get from chemicals and comedy. Joy is deeper, more spiritual. It's a basic condition of our lives. Yes, there are many ways of achieving happiness nowadays, but perhaps because we have failed to have really joyful lives and joyful families, we try all these other means to achieve a little happiness. So, what does the Bible have to teach us about joy in the family? Well, in the Bible, there's an example of a family before and after Jesus Christ had entered their lives. We read about this family in Acts chapter 16, an incredible piece of history recorded for our benefit. At first, you may hesitate when you hear about this joy-filled family because you may think the circumstances surrounding this family were so unusual that it could never happen in your family. Well, look, the Bible makes clear that the very thing that happened to this family can happen to any family. This can happen to your family. Actually, God's Word gives many accounts of families that were transformed from gloom and despair to places filled with joy and contentment. Now, this family lived in a city of Philippi during the first century. Philippi is a little north of where Greece is situated today. The father of this family was a jailer, a warden, who had responsibility for the main prison in the city. One day, two prisoners were delivered to the jailer. Their names were Paul and Silas. They were Christians, and they had been very successful in the preaching and the spreading of the good news gospel message of Jesus Christ. God had certainly blessed their efforts, but they ran into trouble. They had cast a demon out of a slave girl who was a fortune teller. She had been earning a lot of money for her owners. But once the demon had been cast out, she lost her ability to predict the future. Their business destroyed, the owners brought Paul and Silas before the magistrates, where charges and accusations were trumped up and succeeded in convincing the court that the two men were dangerous. Next, Paul and Silas were ordered to be flogged. Now, the way the Romans in those days flogged people was ghastly. They would tie a man up and stretch him out and then lay into him with leather thongs that had pieces of wood and metal fixed into them. So Paul and Silas, when they were finally put into the jailer's custody, they were bruised, torn, and blood-soaked. Despite their condition, the jailer didn't take any chances. He put these poor men in the deepest part of the prison and fastened manacles around their wrists and put their feet in stocks. Now, as we read in the New Testament from Acts 16, where this is recorded, we learn to our surprise that Paul and Silas then began to sing. Can you imagine singing as the blood continued to ooze from their weeping wounds as pain racked every nerve ending in their torn bodies? Paul and Silas began to sing. They weren't singing the latest folk songs or catchy tunes. They weren't singing songs of a revolution. They were the wonderful songs that speak about God. They were singing songs of faith. Now, even today, we have songs that tell of the transforming work of God, how He changes the lives of individuals and families. They tell of God's amazing grace, His amazing love bestowed to man through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Our chains are gone, and we have been unshackled, and that is only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Now, back to Paul and Silas. In the Bible we read that about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." So then, when the earthquake struck, it tore apart the prison doors. Now every prisoner was free to leave. The jailer became suicidal. How would his superiors react to so many escapees? He knew that the authorities had the nasty habit of bestowing the death penalty on jailers who let their prisoners escape. But Paul convinced him not to kill himself. Remarkably, not one prisoner had made the dash for freedom. And after hearing the news that all the prisoners were still there, we read of a most unusual reaction on the part of the prison officer. The Bible records it as follows. We read, "The jailer called for lights, rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, 'Men, what must I do to be saved?'" Well, this is a very humble reaction, an acknowledgement by the jailer that a superior power was at work here, an understanding that he was a sinner in need of repentance, a sinner in need of salvation. He was ready to receive God's most gracious gift to mankind. Let's read the rest of this most wonderful true story. Paul and Silas replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. And that hour of the night the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. And the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in the Lord God. Then something remarkable happened. This tough and hardened jailer took a basin of water then and began to wash their wounds. Gone was his status. Pretensions were thrown out the door. And this charge changed him and occurred after the word of the Lord had been explained to him. "All praise to you, Lord God, for the changes that you bring about in people. It is miraculous seeing hearts that are hardened against God and his word change to contrite and believing hearts, seeing their burden of sin and guilt taken away and replaced with love and joy and contentment in the knowledge of Jesus Christ." You know, my friends, this is still happening today. Nothing is impossible with the Lord God. He can change any man or woman's heart. I can attest to the power of the Lord God, how he has changed myself and my family from the brink of destruction. I suggest pray and ask the Lord today. See how God works in response in the jailer's heart after hearing the gospel message, the good news of salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. An aura of joy descends on this family. The Bible records this by saying that the whole family was filled with joy because they had come to believe in God. It took a miracle to bring joy to that family, and it will take a miracle to bring joy to yours. For when we respond to God with a believing heart, miracles really do start to happen. We begin to change. Our families begin to change. The good news found in the Bible is that God delights in working these miracles that will fill families with joy. What happened in the family of the Philippian jailer happened time and time again throughout the years that followed as men and women believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened to the jailer is happening right now as people come to faith in the Lord Jesus. When people believe, joy comes into their hearts, comes into their lives, and joy comes into their families. Let us take a moment in prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, how awesome and great thou art. Lord, we pray that in these uncertain times there may be a Christian revival here in New Zealand. We pray minds may be opened to the truth, your truth, and hearts may be changed to love and serve you. We pray for listeners, whatever your circumstances in life may be, that the Lord may sustain and encourage you. You could be listening anywhere in the world. May he bless you and keep you safe by his love and grace. We pray for all those who are depressed and lonely that the Holy Spirit may guide you to the Lord and ultimately to your word, the Bible. We pray for the inmates in our prisons. Lord, make them see the error of their ways. Remove the anger and resentments in their minds and in their hearts. Renew them, Lord, and prepare them ready to serve you. Lord, we read in your word from your prophet Isaiah that even youths grow tired and weary and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Lord, we pray that you will protect the family in our land, that you will protect the family unit in this, even in this world, as we watch society and the family crumbling around us. Lord God Almighty, we bow our heads before a holy God and ask him to help us. Our Father in heaven, we ask that you will make our families joy-filled places to live. Frustrate the efforts of the evil one who likes nothing more than to sow discord, disunity, and disharmony in our families. Bless us, Lord, and help us to work at creating a family atmosphere where your holy name is held in the highest regard. Lord, we pray for those in authority over us. Bless them, guide them, give them wisdom in their decision-making. Give them a heart for the people to serve the people with justice and integrity. Lord, we pray for a peaceful solution to the tragic situation in Israel and in Palestine. We pray for peace in Ukraine. Work in the hearts of the leaders to bring about peaceful solutions. Lord, we ask that you will also teach us to pray your prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Now the Lord Jesus Christ declares to us, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Cast all your burdens on me." Look to Jesus Christ. He is the captain of your soul and find salvation. Believe in him and find forgiveness of sins. Find hope, find new direction, new life. Follow him and find a new meaning in your life and your whole family as each day becomes meaningful and life has a purpose. And I'd like to encourage you to seek out a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church community that preaches the whole Word of God in your area, in your community, even this afternoon. I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. We will be back in 2 weeks at this time here on Radio Hawke's Bay. If you'd like to comment, our number is 06-87-600-62. In God's Word, the Bible, we read, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the righteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, we must not hold on to this precious message of hope. We must pass it on. This gospel, that is the precious good news, was commanded by Jesus Christ to be proclaimed to every corner of the world. Jesus Christ declares to his disciples and to us today that we are to be fishermen, that is, fishers of men. And he added, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." And then we have these comforting words that should bring joy and contentment to the believer's heart. Jesus Christ declares, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of this age." Now may the Lord shower his blessings on us and upon you. May we cry to the Lord for mercy, and may the Lord shower us with his mercy, and may we praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Jesus, I've forgotten the words that you have spoken, promises that burn within my heart. Now I'm dim, with a doubting heart I follow the paths of earthly wisdom. Forgive me for my unbelief, renew the fire. To know you and all your tender mercies, like a river of forgiveness ever flowing without end. So I bow my heart before you in the goodness of your presence, your grace forever shining like a beacon in the night.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, a community access media station. Thank you to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.